education.
Okay.
I covered Sitka's school budget process this year. It was less painful than a lot of other communities around the state, but there was still some degree of hurt to it. And the question that came up there was, in a state that has a surplus, in a state where that's so much better off than many of the other states in the union, why is funding education still a struggle in so many communities?
I kind of ask it the other way. Why? What is the public getting for the record increases in education spending in the last 4 years? That, I mean, I kind of flip it around. And really my question for the school districts this year when they came forward and said, we want an increased BSA, an increased base student allocation, what they're saying is we want you to automatically increase for the next 3 years this allocation to our school districts. Well, my job as governor is to make sure that Alaskans are getting what they're paying for and that they know that they're getting what they're paying for so that their money is being well spent. It's my obligation to Alaskans to make sure their money is well spent. So I ask the question, what are we getting for these increases? You know, you could have heard the crickets in the background. It kind of made me – and also then I got blasted in the press for trying to cut education when that wasn't what I was doing. What I was doing was saying, I've proposed an increase to education. You want an even greater increase, and you want it to go in this formula. What are Alaskans getting for it? So where we ended up was we heard testimony, you know, school districts are facing increased utility costs, and we finally got the numbers on what that was. We funded that increase because I think that's holding a school district accountable and saying, utility costs went up? Okay, I get that. But write the check. Fuel costs went up, and they went up X amount of dollars. Okay, I get that. Let's write the check for that. And then in the end, there was an allocation across districts based upon student population. And so there effectively was a compromise between kind of those one-time funding. It was all one-time funding, but it was accountable funding to a greater degree than had we just said, just increase the BSA. And I think that's good. It's good for the public.
Obviously, increasing that per pupil funding, the BSA, would mean more resources for districts. But school districts like Sitka also argue that it would mean better planning, especially the bill that was on the table this year to do three years. And they said, you know, boy, that if we get that guarantee that these funds are going to be in place, the timeline looks a lot better. We can tell our teachers if they're coming back to work. We know what to do in the years ahead.
Well, listen, teachers should know they're coming back to work because we've also forward-funded education for the next year. And for a school district to say that they can plan better I guess if they were guaranteed they're guaranteed a certain level right now so they can plan better. They already are guaranteed K-12 funding formula for another year beyond this one. Guaranteed, no question. It's already there. It's in the bank. It's been allocated for it. So they can plan at least for the next 2 years. Now, I just think it makes better sense for the public to know what their money is being spent on. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish.
I want to ask you to respond to something our superintendent has said, not about you or your administration directly, but about the national conversation around education. And he often, during conversations, especially about financial matters, starts talking about his feeling that education's under attack in this country and that those professionals who work in public education don't get the recognition or don't get the professional respect that they deserve, and that that the policy is all centered around the idea that teachers are just in it for more money and those kinds of things in the national. How do you feel the national conversation is about education? How do you feel the conversation is here in Alaska? Are we setting the right tone?
I bring it on home. My mom was a school teacher for 26 years, and I saw her put money out of her own pocket, you know, to put the posters up on the board and, you know, decorate her classroom. And I saw the nights she gave to grading papers, and I even helped her on a few of those nights, grade papers. I know from being a family member of a school teacher the sacrifices that teachers make, and I honor that and acknowledge that. I think here in Alaska we've made education a priority. But it's not just about writing a check. We've made writing a check a priority. That's why the education community here has seen record increases, like I've said, beyond anything they've ever seen in the state's history. I would pause it out there. At the same time, we've changed incentives for kids. And I think about the Alaska Performance Scholarship, for example. 3 years ago, I pursued this as a new way to incentivize more rigorous coursework for our kids. I said, look, if you're willing to take 4 years of math and 4 years of science, and also put together a vocational training track in there as well. If you're willing to do that, we'll reward you. You've earned a scholarship, an Alaska Performance Scholarship. Did that 3 years ago, and then this year we put in place the funding mechanism for it. We put aside $400 million and said we'll live on the interest and earnings of that. We'll pay for these scholarships out of the interest and earnings of that account. Ended up building in the needs-based scholarships as part of that too. But the bottom line is we make education a priority in this state. It's part of our constitutional priorities. And we are redesigning the incentives for kids in that education arena so that they can perform better. It's not, for me, it's not about just writing a bigger check in a system that doesn't always meet the needs that parents believe their kids have.
It seems like educationally, it seems like there's a lot of breadth to the Alaskan education system, from a big urban district like Anchorage to school districts in our listening area of 10 students, 12 students.
Yeah.
That's a lot to keep track of, and that's a lot to shape policy around.
It is, but we managed to do it as a state. I'll just give you an example. A couple of years back, the senator and representative from Southwest Alaska said, come see our dilapidated schools. And I went, and frankly, every time I go to a community, pretty much I either have seen or I do see that school or schools in the community. And I went, I kicked the tires on these schools and saw kids in class in some pretty bad conditions. In one Southwest village, they were having to cut ice blocks from their sewage lagoon to make room for more sewage to go into their sewage lagoon. I saw kids in a classroom at about 90 degrees with the door open at, 10 below zero outside because the heat wouldn't regulate in the classroom. Just conditions that you would not normally experience in a place like Sitka or surrounding communities. And I began, and I went to work with those representatives and legislators to create a funding system that was equitable for rural areas, along with the 70-30 match that we gave for school construction in the more urban areas. Did that. We finished that legislation 2 years ago, I believe. In the past year, we had a longstanding piece of litigation named Kasaili over the inequities of rural school construction. We resolved that. We resolved the Moore litigation, which was over inequities in the delivery of education services to kids in some rural areas of our state. It is a vast state when it comes to policy and differences, but at bottom, we just want our kids to be educated so they can take a place in our workforce and be prepared for life. And that's going to take homework at home, and it's going to take schoolwork at school.